Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and we're coming to you live on the BBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio. One of the things I love about doing this work is the fact that I am no longer alone in doing it. For most of my life, I was researching the afterlife with no awareness of other people who were also trying to make sense of this tremendous amount of afterlife evidence that everybody seemed to be ignoring. It never much occurred to me back then that since the evidence was so incontrovertibly right, it was odd that no one else seemed to be looking at it. I got an internet-enabled computer. I think it was toward the end of the 90s. And I came across information about one Victor Zammit of Sydney, Australia. At last, I was not alone. There was somebody else in the world who was researching the afterlife. Of course, in the intervening time, the internet really has brought us together. There are lots of people who have spent a lot of time doing this research. And what's amazing, when I meet people like our Craig Hogan, Stafford Betty, eventually I met and got to hug Victor and Wendy Zammit. What was amazing was finding that all of us had come to precisely the same conclusions. Working independently, studying the evidence, often studying different kinds of evidence from one another, still, we all had arrived at the same place exactly and in detail. If you need further proof that all of this is real, then look no farther than the fact that when strangers meet who have separately studied any kind of afterlife evidence, we always wind up completing each other's sentences. Our guest today is another wonderful Australian afterlife researcher. His first book, Afterlife, Uncovering the Secrets of Life After Death, was a bestseller. His recent book is called No Goodbyes, and I think it's a great addition to the literature. Barry Eaton is a radio and TV personality in Sydney. He's a great ambassador for this work. He's also a medium, and he's a psychic. He was given the 2012 Hall of Fame Award by the Australian Psychics Association, as a matter of fact. I'm so glad you're here, Barry. Welcome. Welcome, and let's have fun with this.
Yeah, great, Roberta. Lovely to talk to you right across the Pacific.
Yes, yeah. What's wonderful, one of the many wonderful things about doing this work nowadays is there are great people all over the world doing this work. My next four guests are all from countries far away from the United States, and I'm thrilled to be able to bring, it's wonderful. You are a terrific researcher doing this work. I'm so happy to be able to introduce people to your work who may never have heard of you. How did you first get started?
It's interesting you said that we're all coming up with the same with the same conclusions. If we all came up with different ones, we would be in trouble, wouldn't we?
Yes, I worried about that, to tell you the truth. I did worry that I was somehow off on a tangent. But when I first started, I think the first person I ever really met was Dr. R. Craig Hogan, and when he and I talked, we literally always completed one another's sentences. I would raise a topic, he would finish the sentence as I would have. And in reading everybody's books and reading your books as well, I find we've all come to the same place. Don't you? Doesn't that thrill you though? I mean, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Indeed, it just makes. It's like when you're doing some medium work and voices come through, or you're doing a reading or whatever, and you think, where is this information coming from? Then all of a sudden, it's all backed up. The credibility is there, and you think, wow, I'm not making this up at all. Past life regressions, exactly the same thing. It's wonderful where the information is, because it's coming from spirit, and that's the main thing.
Isn't it wonderful? It's amazing. But how did you get started doing this? What first made you begin to do this work?
Well, I was working back in the 1980s on commercial radio here in Australia, and I was doing a callback program, and I had various guests that would come on. Started off with a numerology expert, and every time he came on, the switchboard would light up And people would go berserk, waiting half an hour just to be able to talk to him. So he introduced me then to an astrologer, and then a psychic came on board. And all of these, sometimes I'd be struggling for calls with popular topics, but as soon as these guys came on, the switchboard would light up. I was going through in the late 80s, around about 89, 90, I was going through a marriage breakup, and I thought, I've got to do something different with my life. I really cannot keep going the way I am. I was working 80 hours a week. I was running a media relations company, doing some television work, doing a radio program, all these things. And I just said to the universe, I want to change. Give me something new.
Wow.
So I said, all right, okay. I didn't actually hear them say, all right, okay, but they granted my prayer, if you like, because all of a sudden the marriage broke up, and out of the blue I just said to the guy who was on radio with me, I'm going to come and do your astrology course next year. He said, what? Where did that come from? I said, I don't know, but I'm going to do it. So I did, and that was the turning point. I got my diploma in astrology. I then went out and started working as a psychic as well, because the psychic I was working with on radio said to me one night, you know, you're going to be doing this yourself very soon. But oh, come on,
really?
I'm working 80 hours a week already.
Yeah.
But she was right.
Oh, wow.
So we all have this transformational point in our life. And
and
mine was around about 1989.
But you developed your mediumistic abilities, right? You went to the Arthur Findlay College, I think, something, did more serious work in the study of being a psychic and being a medium.
Yeah, well, I worked all through the 90s and I'm still working. I'm still doing readings for people. But the Arthur Findlay College was like a postgraduate degree in, I did that in 2012. But I developed my medium skills when my partner Judy passed over very suddenly in 1997. And then we were put in touch with each other through a medium, and I was virtually given permission from the other side for us to continue this. And that was how my first book, Afterlife, came, because she kept on nagging me from spirit, saying, come on, you got to write a book. And I'm like, oh, all right, okay.
The nagging doesn't end even after she graduates. Wow.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, I had mediums contacting me, and one guy, Bob Murray, unfortunately Bob passed over not that long ago, but he rang me one day and he said, Barry, said, I've got this Judy coming through from the other side, and she says, when are you going to write that book, Barry? Said, oh, all right, I'll write the book.
So was everything
in that? So you even get nagged.
Yes. Well, you know, they really don't change much. Our personality doesn't change much when we graduate. That's part of what's fun about it. So she, obviously she had a mission. And now did she talk to you directly when you wrote Afterlife, or were you talking with her mainly through mediums?
She talked to me at various levels. We started off with automatic writing and then developed from there. And she does talk to me as a medium. She was coming through working with me, and I was running spiritual development groups for a while there. And she would come through. I called her my little spirit wrangler, because she would bring all sorts of people through.
Wow.
And I also then developed. I went on from there, not only communicating with Judy, but also with various mediums, with spirit guides, and some wonderful people on the other side. But that's a whole big long story.
My guest today is the wonderful Barry Eaton, who is an Australian a radio personality and has been also a TV personality. In his wonderful second book, No Goodbyes, which is called, Life-Changing Insights from the Other Side, is fascinating to me because he does go to spirits who are living at the upper level of reality. Just to give you all a quick refresher, there are two sort of unpleasant levels right above the earth, and then there's levels 3 through 5, and we say levels because they're sort of groups of levels. There really are infinite gradations of each of them. But the beautiful Summerland levels, at the lowest level, many people don't know anything more than you and I do. Many of them don't even know they reincarnate. They just don't know anything. But when you get to upper level 5 and into level 6, you're in a whole new stratosphere. Most of the people there really do get what's going on, and they're interested in communicating it with us. So with that, Barry, tell us how this book, No Goodbyes, began to come to you, and tell us about it.
Okay, well, in my first book, I connected with a spirit of an Australian former producer, film producer, by the name of John Dingwall, and that was done through transmediumship. And John came through, and I was suddenly thinking, boy, John, you have certainly learned a lot since 2004 when you went over there. But then I found out that he is actually the spoke spirit, as I call him, for over 100 different spirits at all different levels of the afterlife, and they speak through him. I also work through a master guide who helps me tremendously, and he was saying, communicating with me and saying, it was like you when you were reading the news on radio and television, doing the news anchoring, that the information was coming from all different sources, reporters here and journalists there and correspondents and whatever. You are the front person. It's all coming through you. That's exactly what's happening with John. So John was coming through with all these wonderful insights and everything like that, which I put in my first book, Afterlife. And then when that was all finished, it was published, and then it got published in America through Tarcha, which is means it was going all over the world, really, and through Europe as well. Then I thought, okay, well, that's it. Done that, been there, what am I going to do next? So I got back in touch with John through Transmedium Kelly and said, okay, John, lovely to talk. Let's have a quick chat, and I just want to say thanks very much. He said, what do you mean thanks very much? We've only just started. I said, oh, really? So he said, yeah, there's at least one more book here. So I said, oh, all right, okay. So then we started to talk, and I found out that the level of spirits and how many people were in this group, and just it also included my late partner, Judy. I found out later on then it includes my father, the soul of my father, who passed over in 1986. I then started to work with a couple of other very well-known mediums here in Australia that I had worked with, Ezio De Angelis and Val Hood, both of whom are excellent, excellent mediums. And they were bringing through information as well. So it was a combination, Roberta, of my own contacts through the transmediumship, through John Dingwall, and then other mediums and other information that I was getting through my own radio program. I've got my own internet radio show too called Radio Out There, and I've interviewed a lot of people on many, many subjects, including the afterlife. So once I extrapolated all this information, put it together, then I reached certain parts, and I thought, well, okay, I'm a bit stuck here. What do I do next? So as soon as I ever got stuck, this wonderful master guide, M, who was working with me, and I was a bit stuck. Where do I go? I put it out to him just before I went to sleep one night, and I got a very strong message in my dreams. I get a lot of messages in my dreams.
Yes.
And it was past lives. You've got to get in and do some more past lives. Afterlife,
this is a topic
I started off with my...
I really want to talk about, but there are two things that have caught on people's minds who are listening. I just want to make sure we explain them. And the first is transmediumship. I'll explain, please, what that is so that people understand it's different from psychic mediumship or spiritual mediumship.
Yeah, well, I work as a conscious medium, whereas if I'm doing a reading for somebody or I'm connecting, I'm doing it while I'm conscious. A trance medium, actually, I work with Kelly and I have to take him down because I've done a lot of past life therapy stuff as well. I take him down into a deep trance state and he just moves to one side and the spirit of John comes through, takes over his body, and a lot of people call it channeling.
Yes.
And that's exactly basically what happens. So John comes through while we can hold the energy there, and I record all of this. I've got some wonderful recordings of contacts with John. In fact, I'm working on a new book at the moment and working with John and many other spirits as well. But that's how the transmediumship comes. Transmediums are a lot different to the normal medium that you might go to for a reading. I did some trance training while I was at the Arthur Findlay College in England back in 2012. I can do it, but I'm not all that fond of doing it. But I do have a guide that comes through me if I'm in a group as well. But I like to feel in charge, Roberta.
Yes, that's a little much to give up.
When you're a trance medium, something is coming through you, and it's a funny feeling, I've got to tell you.
Yes. Now, when John talks through the trance medium, does he sound like the trance medium, or does he sound like himself when he was alive?
He sounds like John. Yeah, no, I knew John, and Kelly's voice totally changes. John comes through,
wow.
not only his voice, but his vocabulary, his grammar, the way his sentence construction, and it's of a man who would be now, if he was still alive, would be well in his 70s. And from that generation, the way he speaks and the way he puts things together, that comes through. Whereas Kelly, as a guy, he's just turned 50, so... very, very different approach to life and communication.
Wow, that's fascinating. All right, and now tell us how you work with your spirit guide. I tell people, if you have a question, put it clearly, even aloud, before you go to sleep. Go to sleep, and very often, pay attention to the first thoughts in your mind in the morning. Very often, the answer will be there. Might not be what you want to hear, but we talk with our guides while our bodies sleep, and so they often give us guidance that way. Now, you were doing that very actively with your primary guide, M. Tell us about that. Did you wake up with ideas? When you woke up, were they there?
Night anyway.
Sometimes
it's when we wake up, but we all do leave our body in the middle of the night. So we need a good restful sleep, and the soul does leave the body and goes back into the spirit realms where we can mix with our other soul friends and companions, and with our guides. We do get instructions, all sorts of things like that. But sometimes we get a full download, and I quite often get a download in the middle of the night.
Tell us about that.
Well, when you get a message from a guide who's my mentor in that book, and only works with me in my books. So I got that message, and I was having coffee with another very good friend of mine, Belinda Grace, a day or so later. And I said to her, look, I've got to try and find a past life therapist around here. She said, oh, would you believe I have just run into Colleen, who has just been somewhere else. I haven't seen her for ages. And I thought, okay, this is not just some coincidence. So
no.
I got Colleen's number, and immediately I went to have a session with her. Now, since then, Colleen and I have become really good friends. She's now living down the south of Australia in Melbourne, and runs the Life Between Life program for the Michael Newton Institute. But,
wow.
Colleen took me back in a four-hour session, Roberta, sitting there for 4 hours, going into very, very deep hypnosis. And I went into a couple of different lives for the book, just to be able to show. I was expecting to go back to ancient Egypt. I'm a bit of an Egyptophile. I've got collections of all sorts of things about Egypt. I was fully expecting to go back there. Imagine my surprise when instead I went back to Central America in about the year 890 or something from memory, and I was a healer in a jungle. I was a woman who was a healer. So the wise woman of the tribe, I thought, wow, that's interesting. So out it came, and then I went from there, after that, went back into the afterlife and was taken into the next life, all in this 1 4-hour session. And then I was a desert trader. And he was a bit of a lad. Unfortunately, he was after my very good life as a healer, I undid all the good and created a whole lot more karma for myself by becoming a naughty desert trader.
So in what desert were you, the Sahara?
No. I was in the desert. Would you believe what we call now Syria, where all the world troubles are? I actually lived in the city of Damascus. Now, all this happened long before the Syrian civil war started, so it's not something that I tuned into because of the news or anything like that. I did this regression back in 2012, 2013, 2012 it was, so long before the Syrian civil war erupted. So there I was in the deserts of Damascus doing all sorts of bad things with concubines and having a wonderful time, but I created a lot of very bad karma for myself.
Oh, dear. Now, just to set the scene for people, what happens when you do a past life regression is that the regression therapist takes you into a very deep state of hypnosis. And they help you pick up a past life which is significant to your present life. Usually, if they're trying to cure a trauma that you've had, maybe you're afraid of heights or something. Where did this arise? Or what did your therapist say when you were finding these past lives?
Well, we discussed this, and you're right, because I do past life regression for people as well, and it always has a therapeutic value to it. Go back to the source of the problem. But in my instance here, I was looking at the source of information that I needed for this particular book, the source then being my present-day karma. So that was a very different kind of a thing, rather than going with a phobia of, you know, not being afraid of the dark or spiders or whatever.
Right.
That's a different kind of thing. So I went in there with a very explicit set of instructions for Colleen. Now, Colleen was determined, and we both were, that she did not read my first book. So she did not know me at all at the time. We've since worked together on the afterlife conferences here in Australia. But at that time when I first met her, she didn't know me. She knew nothing of my background. And so she didn't influence me in any way. So she took me down into this very, very, very deep theta state, and away I went off on these past life adventures. But the concept was to find out the relevance between what I'm going through this life, because what I'm doing is writing books about the afterlife. So there has to be that link. You don't go back and do a past life regression just purely as a time tunnel Hollywood experience. There has to be a reason for it.
Yes.
It's
usually a significant time in that lifetime that you get to. I did this just once, and it was such an awful experience. I'm always male, pretty much. But I think it's interesting, and I want people to notice, you are a woman. We tend to switch genders. We have one dominant gender, but we have some lifetimes as the other gender. And we often have repeated lifetimes with the same group of people, but in different roles. So was there another lifetime you found very interesting that you thought you'd like to share?
Well, for my book, in my first book, Afterlife, I was taken back in another regression before I'd met Colleen, actually. But this was another regression. I was taken back to the Somme. In World War I, the famous Battle of the Somme.
Oh, wow.
And I was taken back there, and that was where I was killed in my immediate past life. So the details came through very strongly. And the interesting thing, Roberta, was that after I'd written this whole story about this, just before the publication of the book, I went over to France and visited the area and came to the place where, and I knew my regiment, I knew everything. I was taken to this place where I actually died. And we went in, and it was the Devonshire Cemetery there, at the Battle of the Somme, 1st of July, 1916. And there was a mass grave in the Devonshire Cemetery. And the guide took me over there and explained various things. He said, and there's a whole lot of bodies there that were never really identified because it was a horrendous time, you know, mud, all this dreadful thing. I stood on that spot, and immediately the tears started pouring down my face, and my guides just came through and said, yes, the body you had in your previous life is underneath your feet right now.
Oh, my. Wow, that gives me chills.
It was an incredible experience, and it just brought home the fact that there is this link, and the link for me was the fact that this was my last life. I'd had many lives as a warrior or a soldier, and this was to be my last life. It was a transformation from there to move into something different, and that's why I'm doing more healing kind of work in this lifetime. My lives as a warrior are over.
Isn't that beautiful? I'll raise the topics because I'm curious too. I don't communicate with very advanced beings routinely and ask them these questions. So what did they say about homosexuality?
Well, it's very interesting. I grew up there and working in a theater and everything like that. So to me, working with people who are homosexual or have their own belief systems or whatever, that's fine. You know, I appreciate that. So I was very interested to hear when we talked about this with John, because John, as I said, is a spokes spirit, and they speak through him, because everything in the afterlife is done via thought. So they can think, use their minds, speak through John. And the basic thing about homosexuality is that it doesn't matter what body we are in, because we are essentially a soul using a spirit as its vehicle, attaching itself to the body at the heart level to use the body as a vehicle. Now, the main thing in a relationship is love. Love is the binding force of the universe. If the relationship is all about love, and about and not purely about sex or material possessions or whatever, then it doesn't matter what body you're in. And that's, right. as far as they're concerned, homosexuality, it really doesn't matter. It boils down to love. And because there's so many people who are heterosexual, who are using each other or whatever, and that is karmically dangerous. It's potentially dangerous to all sorts of people, the other partner, children, families, friends, whatever. So it all boils down to what we are, who we are, and nothing to do with our sexual proclivities.
Right. Now, that's what I've come to understand, too, that this whole obsession that some people have with there being something wrong with homosexuality is absolutely nonsense. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you love. It just matters that you do love. And that's good. All right. So they agree with me. I'm relieved to hear that. What about euthanasia?
Well, now, this is an interesting one, Roberta. We've just had a big vote here in Australia, in the state of South Australia, where the vote in the parliament there ended up as a tie about euthanasia, and the speaker had to then cast the vote to say no go, no euthanasia. And there's an uproar. Well, why can't we have people? Why should they suffer and everything like that? Now, I had a pretty open mind on euthanasia before the topic arose with John and the Spirit Group. And I thought, well, okay, yeah, we put animals down. We don't like to see animals suffer. Why do we want to see human beings suffer? But then the spirit world came up with this answer to me. They said, sometimes we learn the greatest lessons of our entire incarnation in those last few months before we pass over, before the soul leaves the body. And if you take that lesson or the chance for that lesson away from that person with euthanasia, they are probably going to have to come back and do it all over again. They have not had a chance to balance their karma. They have not had the chance to be able to get out there, live the life, and fulfill the purpose that they came here to do. And that may be just the capping off point in those last very painful, very uncomfortable, and very distressing for family members. But that was the answer they gave me, and I thought, wow, that makes a lot of sense.
I love it. Yes. There's an example I'd like to share. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who is one of my heroines, a great researcher, wrote On Death and Dying and other wonderful books. She had terrible cancer when she was getting toward the end of her life. She suffered with it for years, and she used to yell at God and say, for heaven's sake, I know where I'm going. Get me out of this body. But she stuck it out and she died. When she then spoke with her children after her death, she said that was the best, most important lesson of that entire lifetime, was that long period of suffering with cancer. I mean, physical suffering is over once it's over. And it does things, apparently, it cleanses us in ways we can't be cleansed otherwise. So I would agree with them and with you that it's not up to us to take a life. That's really above our pay grade. So let's talk about prison reform.
Okay, but just before we do that, what we do take back with us from this lifetime is an imprint on our spirit. Our soul is pure, but the spirit takes an imprint back with it. And if the karma that is unresolved, or the actions, the negativity, all of these things are addressed as well, if that imprint is still on the spirit when it goes back into the afterlife, that has to be resolved. Now, that is not always able to be done in the life between life sessions. So you may have to bring that karma back again in another life, at least one more life. So it's very important that we do clear as much of this as we possibly can.
Yes.
Okay,
I think that's great. Yeah. What about prison? What did they say?
Very concerned about the whole prison situation. That we are not putting people into incarceration for rehabilitation. We're putting them in there. Get them out of society. We don't want them. They're a pain. They're hurting people. Punish them. We don't want them. Take them away from us. Now, they are very, very concerned about that. And there are prisons in various parts of the world that are rehabilitating. And the example that was given to me was in India, where they use meditation techniques with prisoners there. And the rehabilitation through getting people into a different state of mind is so successful. India apparently has a far lower rate of recidivism than countries like Australia and the United States. The United States has got the biggest prison population per capita in the world.
Yes, it's a mess. Total mess.
And it's the same thing down here. We're building private prisons now just to be able to get people out of the system. Get them away. We don't want them. And this is not the right approach. I'm very concerned about it.
They should be. This horrible way of treating people comes directly from the fact that we are so clueless. Our society is so clueless about what's going on. We are basically screwing up the world, and we're screwing up so many people. I mean, these are people who are also part of Eternal Mind. They're perfect, beautiful people, and we're stuffing them in prisons. So the world is a mess. What has John told you about that, Barry? What's your role in fixing it? I mean, did he say you have to fix this, or what did he say?
No, he hasn't said to me, you go away and fix it, or anything like that. No, what we're all doing is to help get the word out. First of all, to take the fear away from the possibility, the eventuality of death, because there is no death. Is it only eternal life? We just shed one body, we go back to the afterlife, and we come back again when the time is right into our next incarnation. But it's not as simple as fixing the world. There's so much fear around at the present stage, fear of death to start off with. So that's part of my role, is to help get the word out that we don't die, we continue living, and that's the main thing that I'm getting out there. But in doing so, in writing these books, there are various things that they want us to understand, and one of them is the fact that we are screwing the world up at the present stage. We're doing it environmentally, we're doing it with GMOs, we're doing it with all sorts of glyphosate, the dreadful things that are happening with glyphosate, poisoning the planet, the environment. So many things that we're doing, they want us to know that they are very concerned in spirit. They're not going to interfere. They can't. They can't suddenly send a lightning bolt and a thunderclap down here and change everything. It's up to us. But they are sending out warnings. There's also a build-up. I don't know. I keep getting the impression that there is going to be some kind of conflict that's going to emerge maybe in a couple of years' time. And I'm not doing the Donald Trump thing here. I believe that, you know, whatever happens there is going to happen. But it is not a happy state. We have to be aware of our part in it. And as a population, as a community, as an international community, we have to be aware. Instead of just running off and enjoying our life of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, we need to become more responsible.
Yes.
And to take self-responsibility. That's one of their big messages. Self-responsibility for the actions, the thoughts, and the decisions that you make. Don't turn around and say, oh, it wasn't my fault. I did so-and-so because so-and-so told me to do it. No, we have to take responsibility for ourselves. And that is a very, very strong message they're putting out.
Yeah, so that's all wonderful advice.
You're talking to me right now, you realize that.
I love it. I love it. That's great. Well, welcome, John. We're so glad you're here with your wonderful, wonderful group. There are people, I meet them all the time now, who have been told essentially the same kinds of things. They have a role to play. They have volunteered for this role. Maybe they don't remember doing it, but we've all volunteered to try to fix the earth because it is falling apart. My role is to try to help raise the consciousness of the planet. And Barry's working in the same thing because fear is the lowest vibration. If you can get rid of the fear of death, you'll automatically hugely raise the consciousness of the planet. And my guides tell me we are going to succeed, but we only with everybody's shoulder to the wheel and heart to the contest. We've got to make this happen. This game is for all the marbles. And everybody listening has a part to play, maybe not as a leader, but certainly as someone who is helping to make this change happen. And we're gonna do it, Barry. It's just it does feel like a responsibility, though, doesn't it? Because we've been told it's part of what we came here to do.
Well, now, that's not what we were told to do. It's part of our purpose. We agreed to this before we came on the planet. In between each incarnation, we go through our guides. We work with them in the afterlife. We work through all sorts of help. And if you are picked for a role and you agree to that role, it doesn't matter what stage of life you do it. For me, it was in the second, well into the second half of my life that I realized that my whole area had to change. I've been in communications all my life, yeah, but now communications have changed. And to be able to get that fear, and of course, you know the acronym for fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. And
I love that.
That's what we've got to get away
from. I'm going to save that. Yes, totally right. False evidence appearing real.
And that's exactly it, because most of us can't even remember what the fear was that we had this time last year. Now, when I do an astrology chart for people, that comes up, and I can tell every single person who's come onto the planet with a fear that we have to conquer, we have to face, and we have to work out how we can get through that fear. Every single person, no matter who you are, doesn't matter whether you are a president or somebody who shines shoes for a living, it doesn't really matter, because we all have a fear that we have to conquer.
And fear of death is the base fear. If you can conquer the fear of death, you really won't ever have any fears the same way again. So what you're doing, Barry, is extraordinary work. Thank you for that. Now, how would people contact you? Do you have a website? Tell us about your radio program.
Well, my radio program, it's been going now for about 16 years. It's been on the internet for about 13 years. It's called Radio Out There. Three words, but they're all joined together. So if you go onto the website, which is radiooutthere.com, I do a program. It's up there on the website. I change it every Friday night here in Australia. So it's probably sometime on Thursday in the States. I have guests from all over the world. In fact, I've got more listeners in the United States, funnily enough, than I have in Australia. So because my books, Afterlife and No Goodbyes, have been published in the States, I've got a lot of listeners over there. So you guys are great.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad about that.
My program this week, if I can just put a quick word in about this, the wonderful Dr. Michael Newton passed away on September 22nd, and Michael Newton wrote Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls. He was the one who triggered off huge things for me just after my partner Judy died in 1997. And they've asked me, the Newton Institute have asked me to do a tribute program for Michael Newton, which I am doing, and it will be going to air in about 36 hours from now. So if people want to get onto the website, you can listen to it. It's free. Listen to it anytime, 24/7, radiooutthere.com. It's also got links through to my books and various other stories that are there on the program.
Is there a way there to contact... Can they contact you at radiooutthere.com? Is there a contact block there or something so they can ask you questions or just get in touch with you?
Oh, yeah. There's a contact. And if people want to get in touch with me and anything, you know, if they want a reading or they want all sorts of things, then that's fine.
The book is No Goodbyes, Life-Changing Insights from the Other Side, and that's what they are. And Barry Eaton, I'm so glad you've been here. Thank you. Thank you. All of the wonderful insights you've given us, certainly they've made me think some more, and I love it when someone comes and talks with me and makes me think. I appreciate that so much. Never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you really get all of the implications of that fact, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest will be Camber Wilson. She's a talented young medium who's developing her skills under the tutelage of Suzanne Wilson, who's my favorite medium. And they're not related, I should just hasten to add. But Suzanne is very excited about Camber, and Camber is the sweetest person you are ever going to meet. She's going to talk about what it's like to discover that you've met these abilities, how people react to it, and how you might begin to develop your own abilities if you feel so inclined. So please join us. This week, our guest has been Barry Eaton. He's an Australian radio and TV personality. He's a medium, and he's one of many people who are working now to elevate the consciousness of this planet. We all have jobs to do. We know we signed up for them before we were born, and we're trying, even though we didn't come in with a memory of having done that, but there are guides helping us to get this work done. My own primary guide tells me that, in fact, we are going to succeed, and I really hang a lot of faith and hope on that, because we are, as we know, in a terrible, terrible state right now. Barry's book is No Goodbyes, a wonderful exposition of cutting-edge information that we're getting now from those that we used to think were dead, so they can assist us in doing this very important work. You can hear his radio program at radiooutthere.com. Barry Eaton's work is yet more proof, especially to me, that things that we discuss on this program are real. It's all real. And we are all working together now, all of us, including you, including me, to transform the world. Basically, we're going to fix it. It's just going to take everybody's heart to the contest. Meanwhile, I should say that my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and The Fun of Growing Forever. They will soon all be available as audiobooks, and I'm actually having fun doing this. They're saying I have to do all the reading because everyone knows my voice, so it's taking a few months to get them all done, but already I'm beginning to hear from listeners who are loving the first ones. Thank you so much, everyone who has contacted me to say that. And if you listen to one of my books, please let me know what you think. And if you think I should do them better, just let me know that too. I should remind you that we're publishing a 7-novel series so that I can share these truths with people who'd rather explore them in stories. Chieftain's Maiden and Jack in Love are just out, and they begin a 4-centuries-long saga that uses what we're learning from the dead to explore whether we might at last be able to advance the development of humankind and create an eternally peaceful world. I'm having a ton of fun with these books, but other people who are reading them are saying that they love them just as novels. They're all independent. You can read just one if you like. And if you enjoy reading fiction, I hope you'll check them out. You can find recent episodes of Seek Reality on bbmglobalnetwork.com. Earlier episodes are now being rebroadcast on Revision 7 Radio and on the X Zone Broadcast Network and its affiliates worldwide at xzbn.net. It's been estimated that now we have more than 1 million listeners, and I'm so glad you're there. Please, everybody, consider yourself hugged. Seek Reality is also available as free podcasts on webtalkradio.net and on iTunes. If you lose track of where I am, for more information about where I'm broadcasting now, if you want to read my blog, or if you'd just like to contact me, just go to robertagrimes.com. I do answer every email. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
This has been Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Tune in each week and discover the nature of reality and God, past, present, and future, in a way that can only be told by Roberta Grimes on the next episode of Seek Reality.